On the Seven Sacraments, Part 3, On the Commandments of God, and Part 4, On the Lord's Prayer. We will concentrate on Part 1, which is the longest and most detailed part of the Catechism of the Catholic Church. And my source will be a manuscript that should be published early in September, which I'm calling the Question and Answer Catechism of the Catholic Church. Needless to say, there is so much matter to be covered, we have to be selective in what we choose. In any case, my hope is to cover in 12 conferences the 12 articles of the Apostles' Creed, beginning with the first article this evening. As we all know, it reads, and we say, I believe in God the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, we know that everything in our faith depends on our having a clear and deep understanding of who God is. Because everything else depends on our faith in God. We begin by recalling that the Church has identified what we call the principal attributes of God. The word attribute is a noun. It really is a verb, a tribute to God, certain qualities that we find in God's creation. But then we attribute these qualities to God, but remove every limitation when we speak of Him. The Church has a creed in which believers pray. We firmly believe and confess without reservation that there is only one true God, eternal, infinite, and unchangeable, incomprehensible, almighty, and ineffable, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, Three persons indeed, but one essence, entirely simple. What are we saying when we pronounce this article of our faith? We declare that we both believe internally and confess or profess externally that there is only one true God. Over the centuries, polytheism has been the most common form of idolatry. And we reached a stage in human history where now this polytheism has come to identify every human being in himself as a deity. The underlying theme of our present Holy Father's most important encyclical, Veritatis Splendor, the splendor of the truth, is to keep repeating and insisting the human race in our day has reached the point where each person's own free will determines what each person considers right and wrong, and let no one, including the infinite God, tell man what is right or wrong. This God we profess is eternal. He always existed. There was, as we may say, a time when only God existed. Creation was not from eternity. God is antecedently eternal. He always existed. There never was nothing. Hear it and don't forget. There never was nothing through all of us. Add 9 months to our chronological age, and we were nothing. And even that may sound like good grammar, but it's bad theology. The Catechism spends an extraordinary amount of time, page after page, in my own compendium of the Catechism of the Catholic Church, over 200 questions and answers just on this first article of the Creed. Why? Because the existence of God has never been so challenged in the history of the human race as it is today. Unchangeable. God cannot change. God, from all eternity, had possessed all the perfection of all being. Incomprehensible. How we need to hear that. We, with our infantile minds, the gall, the brazenness, the idiocy of having a human mind dare to pass judgment on God. And as we shall see, among the most incomprehensible attributes of God is God's infinite goodness, which, how we need to hear this, His infinite goodness, which allows those whom He loves to suffer. There was no one in human history, no one that God loved more than His divine Son become man. And there has never been anyone, and a true man, who suffered more than Jesus Christ. If I get nothing else across by Sunday except this truth, it would have been worth your while coming. God is incomprehensible. He loves and He enables those whom He loves to suffer. Because that, my dear friends, is the most effective way of proving your own love. Almighty, God can do whatever He wills. Ineffable, beyond human description. And we shall see at length, and this God is a community. In other words, we are living in a society because God is a society. And we become more and more like Him in the measure that we show our love for Him by loving those whom He puts into our lives. And they can be, my friends, they have to be difficult persons. Otherwise, how can you prove your love for God? If everybody who entered our lives was sweet, and charming and attractive and kind and understanding. We could not grow in the most demanding virtue that God wants his rational creatures to practice: patient, enduring, suffering love. We go on. Among all the divine attributes, which is the most fundamental in our faith? The most fundamental attribute that God revealed. It was revealed to Moses on Mount Sinai when the Lord declared, "I am who am. By this is meant that God's essence is to exist. As I speak in different parts of the country, I look at my audience, and every year I'm safer and assuming there is no one older than me here this evening in chapel. As I get closer to eternity, how I would like to burn into bronze certain basic truths of our faith. This is one. God wants to make sure that we never forget who we are. For 9 months, we were carried in our mother's womb. Took us years to learn how to walk and talk and eat. And then, after a few years, once more, to keep us mindful of who we are, God deprives us of the strength of one after another of our bodily powers. We need this. Pardon the Anglo-Saxon. We stink with pride. We are constantly, I mean that adverb literally, we are constantly living in the aura of our own image. symbolically burning incense to ourselves. God has given us so many laws that He wants us to observe. And what do we do? And this goes for all of us, beginning, I assure you, with the speaker. Unless we keep constant guard over our thoughts and desires, over every faculty of our mind and will and passion of our body, we are tempted to do what we please, and God, to the contrary, notwithstanding. There have been more abortions since 1900 than all the previous centuries of human history put together. Some would say there are more abortions in 1 year than all the previous centuries of human history before. We are living in the most homicidal century of human history. And doesn't seem to bother us. As I said more than once, you may be surprised. I put the blame for abortion mainly on unfaithful Catholics. I mean that. How we need, as we begin this retreat, how we need to remind ourselves that we are poor creatures in the hands of God. Notice what we are saying. God, in identifying Himself as I am who am, God, therefore, identified Himself as necessary being. In other words, God is a being who cannot not exist. Every other creature, or better, every other being in the world need not exist. Only God must exist. And that is why we ask ourselves, what are we by comparison with God? Where do we begin to give an answer? Shall I merely say that we are insignificant? Much less. except for God, we would be nothing. Yet God loves us and is merciful to us if we repent of our sins. That is why he told his people that he is merciful and gracious, slow to anger. God, I keep repeating, and we cannot repeat too often, God is the only being who cannot not exist. He must exist. We don't have to. Then we ask, what is the basic difference between God and his creatures? Answer. The basic difference between God and his creatures is the unchangeableness of God.